Welcome to the East Martian Chronicles, podcasting from the edge of things. Welcome to the East Martian Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Dan Humphrey, and I'm today joined by one of our East Marsh United team members, Carolyn Doyley. Welcome, Carolyn.
Hello.
And Dan. Carolyn, thanks for joining us today. We've got a couple of things to talk about. I believe your role is a community project developer. So could you tell us what that entails briefly?
Yes, I can. So together with my colleague Sue, we share the same job title. We're working with the community to see what the community wants, what the area needs. And we work together with the residents of the East Marsh to develop different projects.
Okay, so we're talking about two of those in particular today. The first of those two is the Toy Library project, which I believe is based out in the market. And anyone that attends Freeman Street Market will have seen probably perhaps where it is. But how's that come about? And I suppose, well, I've said where it is. It's close to where the seminar room is. It's close to one of the entrances near the cafe.
It is. It's right next door to the Vine Cafe. It's a tiny little space, but it's really cute. And we've called it the Toy Cupboard because of its size. And what we're looking for, really, we're growing, and it's a toy library for 0 to 5 years old. So your children are growing. And the idea is that we grow together. So as with everything that we do at East Marsh United, it's all in conjunction with what our community wants. And so, you know, come along and talk to us about what you would like to see. So we are certainly growing together.
So it does what it says on the tin, doesn't it? It's a toy library. So it's a little library cupboard.
Yes.
It reminds me of the of a certain age. People remember the sort of shoe cupboard they used to have on BBC. I'm going back to Philip Schofield and Gordon the Gopher and all that sort of thing. But Andy Peters, anyway.
Rings a bell.
Yeah, I think that it's that sort of size, but then people will go in, look at what's available. Do they sign up to become members?
That's right, yes. Sign up to become a member. We're finalising the membership details. So we're thinking of having an option. You can sign and become a member for a year, or you can have a pay-as-you-go option, right, whichever suits you best. So, yeah, very much like a book library. You come in, have a look at the catalogue, have a look at what we've got, make sure, obviously, that it's age-appropriate, and take it away and let your children play with it. We've had lots of feedback from members of the community already. And one thing I'd like to say is don't be afraid to let your children play with them. You know, that's the whole aim of it, of this. So please don't be guarded and thinking, oh, crikey, you know, don't take it there, don't do this, don't do that. Toys are there to be played with. So when they come back, they'll be cleaned, they'll be checked before they're reissued.
Okay, so is there plans that people come in and, what, take two or three items, or...?
Yeah, we take as many as you like. I mean, we are small at the moment, obviously, so it depends what's in stock at the time, of course. But, yeah, if there's more than one, then please
okay.
do take.
And what if... I'm thinking some of the target audience might be... We'll talk about when it opening hours and stuff in a minute, but there might be people that want to, say, borrow stuff for, I don't know, their grandkids or for friends and family. So it's not just mums and dads necessarily, I suppose.
No, that's right. That's right. I think, you know, once you've taken out a toy, it really is entirely up to you who plays with it.
Yep.
What all we're interested in is that it's age appropriate, that it's played with safely, and that it comes back. So
okay. So I was saying that this is something that you've been planning for a few weeks. There's been artwork put up. There's been toys donated, acquired. Some purchased with via donations of money. So you've built something up. It's nearly ready to open. When's it lined up to open then?
Right, yes. It's opening on the 17th of February in conjunction with a Love Your Town Day on the market.
Oh, right, okay.
I think we're calling it Love Your Market.
Well, that's great, because the market does have a number of events. I remember there was a point at last year when I, myself and my family, we came down a couple of weeks in a row. There was... sort of Comic-Con type day. There was, and they have like lots of activities for kids, and again, having a toy library there seems a natural sort of add-on. But I suppose it's the plan to open, because that's a Saturday, the day you mentioned
it is
yeah
yes.
Is it a plan to like open each Saturday, or
The opening days are Tuesday and Wednesday, and the staff from the NSPCC are opening it up on Friday. So that's 3 days in the week. And because it's a 0 to 5 year old library, obviously that's under school age. So yeah. We think that a weekday opening is quite appropriate.
Yeah, so you've got that thing where people might have, they might still have the kids with them, whereas obviously they wouldn't if they're a bit older.
That's right.
And there might be, I don't know, I suppose everyone's commitments are different, but by having those number of days, and people come along, have a look, see what they think, and hopefully find it a useful resource.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So the opening times are going to be 10 till 2. So we have a few hours in the morning after the school run,
yeah.
In time for you to come, drop things off, take things out, to pick other children up from school.
Okay, no, that's great. It sounds quite innovative. I don't think there's anything else that I know of that equivalent in this area.
No, not in this area. I've been looking around. I went to Lincoln. Lincoln has a huge toy library, but it's part of a national company called Children's Links. So we are independent. The majority of toy libraries that I've seen online are in America.
Oh,
they're very
okay.
big in America.
Yeah. So it just seems a really sort of natural thing. It's very much in accordance with some of the things we do in terms of passing stuff on, in terms of not just, I suppose some people will take stuff to, say, the charity shops, and it's not a competition for that, but it might be that people, particularly with the young kids, I'm guessing that you won't want to push your kid around in a pushchair at the charity shop all day, for example, but with a toy library, you've not got that gamble because you borrow it. And then if it's something they grow out of, well, it's almost like a little trial, something different, isn't it?
It is. That's right. I was talking to a mum the other day, and she said, it's going to be really good for my child who's always busy and always wanting different toys, you know, more stimulation.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the times that they've bought toys for him, and it's a matter of weeks, and gets fed up with them and never touches them again. And so it is very much a way of trialing toys out as well, and seeing, well, okay, do I invest? Do I buy this? So, but I think it's lovely. It just keeps everything moving, very much as you say, fits in with our ethos.
Yeah.
As well, it's better for the environment, and it does keep those early years are so important, as people are very well aware. So to have this change, and for the child to go in and think, right, okay, you know, you've enjoyed that, you can take that out again in the future, but let's try something new, and maybe try something different.
Yeah, and I think it's important where it's situated, because there might be people that have popped onto the market to, I don't know, get some fruit and veg, or to get some meat, or just for their lunch or something, or even to stop for a cuppa and meet people, because there's that sort of meeting area where near some of the stalls. If they can then pop in, and it's something that entertains the kid, or it's almost a short-term gift, if you like, but then if you keep renewing, sending them back and getting new, then it could work really well, couldn't it? Yeah. Almost a routine thing without it. That sounds a bit dry and boring, but you know what I mean. People popping in and saying, well, I'll have a cuppa and take the little one in to see what toys there are and see what stimulates them, and then they take that home and play with it for a couple of weeks or something.
Yep.
Yeah, and then see how it goes.
See how it goes, exactly. We're thinking of having different loans, periods. So, and we're going to be tracking, you know, which toys are popular, and obviously talking to people as they come in to borrow toys.
Yeah.
And trying to fill any gaps, you know, if there's something that you think.
So I suppose that's another thing, that if the people that are using it let you know, well, you'll soon see what's popular, but if people let you know what they think is needed as well. And then if anyone's that is listening and is interested and wants to add support in terms of donations of funds to buy toys, or actual toys that they, you know, nobody plays with anymore.
Mm. Oh,
and there's
yes.
lots of scope for people to help and build it up and keep it
there
fresh.
There is. And yeah. that's lovely, because it does mean that we are working together, and that's the whole idea.
The whole community thing.
Underpins everything we do, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So that's exactly, it fits with us exactly. And thinking about donations, Dan, I'd just like to thank everybody who has donated.
Yeah.
Somebody stopped me and gave me £5 on the market.
Yeah.
And a wonderful woman dropped £50 off at the market office, and we've been wondering how we can get the word out to thank you for that.
Because that was an anonymous one, wasn't it?
It was, yes, anonymous. So unexpected.
Yeah.
It's we're so grateful. And somebody stopped me in a cafe and said, oh, I saw the article, I'd like to donate, and gave me a £30 voucher.
Excellent. Brilliant.
So, and we've had lots of donations of toys as well. A lady came from Stallingborough.
All right. Okay.
In the week to drop off some toys. So we're just so grateful, and thank you. And it fits in with everything that we believe in.
Excellent. So I did say there was a couple of projects. The other one is a variation on something you did almost this time last year, which is all to do with trees and tree planting. So I believe that whereas the main tree planting project that East March United did last year was at Grant Thorold Park, were there 30 trees? I've got that in my head. Was there
yes, 30. Yes.
Right. I wasn't sure about that. I thought, hang on. I helped plant one or two, but I was handing out shovels and stuff that day.
Yes,
I managed
you were.
To
you
avoid
were
hard labour. And
duty.
Yeah, exactly. that was one of my first days at East March United. I'm straight in at the deep end. Handing out shovels. What have I got myself into? But yeah, tree planting is back on the agenda now. I assume, I haven't got specialist knowledge on this, I assume it's the sort of time of year that trees go in the ground.
It is. Hence, I didn't know this until last year, but yeah. Yes, I'm fully aware of this now. Yeah, this is the time to plant trees.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's a theme to your tree planting this year. Again, February, is it? That it begins. Tell us, where are you going and where you're planting trees this time, Carol?
Yeah, this time, slightly, well, very different. This time last year, we were ringing around all of our contacts to get as many volunteers as we could for Grant Thorold Park. And it was very, very moving to see so many people descending on the park with shovels and ready to go. So we can't thank the whole community of Grimsby, because people came from far and wide across the town to help us.
Yeah.
This time we're planting in schools, so obviously there's very little public engagement on this particular project. So we've got 8 schools lined up. And
eight,
yes. And we went round them all in the summer with Russell Horsey, who's the tree expert. I can't actually pronounce his job title, so expert.
Arborologist, yeah.
Yes.
To do with trees,
yes.
Tree scientist, let's call him that.
And Russell is absolutely brilliant with children, because it's all about child engagement. So we had the schools were planting in Grant Thorold Park. They came to the park. This time we're going to them to plant in their school environment. And, we went round the schools in the summer and devised the plans for each school. So each school has got a bespoke planting plan. And that's happening, we're starting on the 19th of February, and it's going to take 2 weeks.
Okay, so for the 2 weeks you're going around, is it each and every primary school in the East Marsh?
Yes,
yeah,
nearly all of them. Yes.
Right, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So if you've got, again, kids or relatives or people you know that are at the schools, then hopefully those schools are going to be, I don't know, what roughly in terms of numbers, they're going to become more green, I suppose, over the spring and summer as these trees bed in and grow, basically,
and
do what trees do. Yeah.
That's right, yes, they'll be doing their thing over summer. The trees that we planted in Grant Thorold Park, their leaves were absolutely beautiful in the spring and summer, and they're coming into leaf again now. So it won't be long. They will make their presence known very quickly.
I suppose this is something, again, that in a previous life I did some work where we actually prosecuted people who cut down trees and things like that.
Oh, yes.
And so you get a little bit of a flavour of a background of the science behind it. But again, the example we saw at Grant Thorold was, they were deliberately choosing which trees fit best where, what size, what, I know you said breed, type.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so there are some trees that have, you know, are better suited to better locations. So again, that's where the work in the background's gone on, that's come into, if you sort of excuse the pun, fruition in over this year with the planting taking place in February for a couple of weeks. So I suppose it's on the cusp of March. And then as they take a few weeks to bed in with a watering programme, etc., then this summer and beyond, I mean, presumably they've got an existence that's quite lengthy. These trees hopefully will outlive us all. You know?
Yes, yeah, yes, this is it. 100 years plus for some of them.
Yes. Yeah.
You talked about the background work there, Dan, and I just want to mention our friends Create Streets, the London-based company, who have made all of this happen. And not only this, there are big plans for the future. The planting down Rutland Street, it is underway as well. Well, the planning, which obviously takes a very long time. So we've had the public consultation already, but they've been absolutely wonderful, and they've sourced the funding for us, and they're with us every step of the way. And they also want to train us up so that we're more knowledgeable and we can conduct our own greening. Greening the marsh is the name that's been given to the whole project, and it's not a short-term project by any means. So this is what's happening now. Rutland Street, the planning is already in the pipeline, but we're going to take this a lot further over the years.
Yeah, it seems really logical to say, year one, we put a load of additional trees in the park and give that extra greenery a new sort of lease of life, and then year two, we're doing it around all our primary schools, and then the third year is basically what you might crudely call sort of street trees, because a lot of the local streets sort of devoid of any green presence. So to design in some trees in there, it might be time consuming, might be a bit of a challenge in some ways, because you don't want, you know, roots getting in the way of the houses or the roads. But at the end of the day, there are trees that, you know, we do have tree lined avenues. I'm thinking Hainton Avenue is one I come on my route to work, and you think that looks nice. And again, throughout the town, there are some areas where the trees have been designed in and some they just haven't. I get why, but sometimes it's cost, or sometimes it's more difficult to find the trees that, for example, Cleethorpe Seafront doesn't seem to have much of a green presence in my mind. There's bits, but not as much as it could be compared to some of the avenues that have had it designed in. And that seems a bit of a shame. But you think, if we're in the East Marsh greening the area, if the West Marsh is of a similar mindset doing it with their project, then before you know it, these areas, our parks, our open spaces, our schools, and actually streets. Why not? It seems such a positive thing, and we can help with it. Almost seems a shame that it's down, that it needs doing. It doesn't just happen. But then the fact that it isn't happening doesn't mean we just forget about it. It needs us to get stuck in.
Yes. I mean, you know the difference, don't you? When you walk down a street that's tree-lined and you walk down one that isn't, they bring such... It's very difficult to describe it, but they bring such warmth, physical warmth.
But it's like a psychological thing. If you walk if you're driving somewhere and you get out at a service station and it's run down and decrepit and it's not clean or tidy or organised and it's got nothing nice about it, that's can bring you down a bit. But if you're at a nice service station that's new and modern and it's got a mix of open space and it's well thought out, well designed, you go, that's better, that's nicer and perhaps more refreshing, more energising. And I wonder if there's something like that with our sort of forgotten streets, if you like.
Yes.
Where, yes, they were designed, and they were designed when the East Marsh was created, but that doesn't mean that has to be how they are designed forever. And if you're changing your parks, your schools, and your streets in terms of that outlook, how they are designed, that's some of the work Create Streets do that's fascinating. They've shown us things that they do that that they're involved in. I mean, there's some examples with how areas of, say, Amsterdam's a famous example, but it's not just Amsterdam, but the canals and trees and streets that are differently designed and more for pedestrians or cyclists. Again, this links to our day we had as East Marsh for the 6 feet of your street, where we went out and cleaned a street.
Yes, yes.
And made it a play street.
Right. It gives it an identity and a personality, and that's really important. And Create Streets are very dynamic.
Yep.
And they and also the council have been fantastic. They've supported us every step of the way.
Yeah.
And I know that they have greening plans too, and we're working together with the council. So we are so grateful to have this strong unit to go forward.
And talking of, I mean, we talked about donations for the toy library in terms of actual physical toys and actual financial donations, and again, I suppose people just come in to have a look. But with the trees, whereas people, we're not asking for volunteers because of the complexity of it being on a school, and a school being, hang on a minute, we don't want a deluge of strangers, for want of a better phrase, because it's a school and it's not something it's happening throughout the weeks, isn't it? Well, it's that, so we've got to be very careful who we allow on the site.
And
to
it's
be
going
honest.
To take the schools a lot to organise their classes as well. So it's a bit.
Are the
bit
kids taking part of it?
They're planting everything.
Yeah.
Yes, Well, when I say everything.
Child labour. But no,
But Russell has a team, and we're going to be there, aren't we, mass? So we will be helping.
I was going to say, you mentioned the funding, but there is an appeal between ourselves and Create Streets and partners that we've put something on Facebook recently and on our own East Marsh United website that we're encouraging people to donate if possible, and any amount is obviously much very gratefully received. I think it was called something, spacehive.com is the sort of host of the site, but the link's on Facebook, and it's the Green London Schools on the East Marsh page between ourselves and Create Streets. And I think the idea is that we're looking for a total, crikey, 36,000. That's a lot of money. Every little helps to get towards that.
That's right. It was 15,000 is the initial target.
Right. Okay.
What happened was the Urban Tree Fund they created the funding application, and we were successful.
Yeah.
Which is down to our friends Create Streets. But there is they don't fund 20%, so we have to find our own 20%.
All right,
That's where the crowdfunding comes in. But also, because at first we thought, oh, crikey, but then, that's really good because the community can buy in to their local area. And obviously we're not expecting people to put in huge amounts. If you do, then that's fantastic. But a pound.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
absolutely brilliant.
Well, if you go on the page at the time we're recording this, it mentions the Urban Tree Challenge big pledge that's been logged as one. But then there's a ranging, and there's private individuals, anonymous ones, and I'm not going to read out every name of the people that have given so far. But there is a range of amounts paid, and that's quite nice. I mean, if there's somebody listening to this that has an affinity with the East Marsh and says, "Yeah, I'm really into trees as well. I think that's a good thing, and I want to." We're not doing it in terms of directly sponsoring a tree this time, are we? We're just saying if you want to put some money in, then
that's right.
Thanks for that, and
it's going into our local schools.
It's helping
helping the children. And when we initially, when we did the planting at Grant Thorold Park, we went into schools and with Paul Chaplin from the council.
Yeah,
and he was wonderful. He was brought all of his knowledge into these workshops that we did. But the children were so switched on.
Yeah.
They said, "Well, we need trees. We need it for climate change. We need it for shade, we need it for carbon capture and for absorbing excess water."
Wildlife?
They know, wildlife, they were really on it.
Well, I suppose it's so logical because they've got green open space to play in anyway. It can provide privacy in some instances, I suppose. I'm thinking of some of the schools where my kids go to, and you're thinking, well, they've got a lot of space, they could probably throw in a few more trees if they had the funding without it impinging on, you know, where they play sport, where they run around and where they do all their activities. And it's just getting the funds and the design and then, as you say, the volunteers to put them in. And it would be quite nice, wouldn't it, to instantly, as they grow, change the profile of the school. So it's not necessarily, I know some of them are new and some of them, disrespectful to any of the schools, but adding trees has only got to be a good thing.
Yes, I mean, some of the sites, they've got some beautiful trees already.
Yeah,
but you can't have too many, can you? And a lot of the we're putting hedging in as well, so woodland hedging, so it lends itself to woodland walks.
Right. Yeah.
It will come into the curriculum.
Excellent. Well, I think you've preempted some of my questions about the future projects, which is about the streets on the East Marsh, and the plan is to start with Rutland Street likely next year. So, you know, we can sit down again this time next year and do hopefully a podcast about that. And maybe next time we speak, perhaps we'll speak in a few months about how the toy library's gone as well. And we'll have to make sure that we feed back on our social media channels, but also invite you to a podcast. But I'm thinking taking photos of how the trees develop will be nice to log that, won't it?
Yes, so that people can see it. Yes, and do go onto our website, and there is the greening section.
Yeah,
which has got all the photographs from Grant Thorold Park, etc., and the link to the crowdfunding. It's also on our Facebook page.
Yeah. So there's definitely a couple of big projects going on that hopefully appeal to a good range of people from the East Marsh and people that are hopefully keen to benefit directly with the toy library, maybe, and perhaps indirectly with the trees. But like I say, that's an ongoing project that's going from strength to strength. So hope that's been very useful and hopefully very informative to listeners. And thanks for joining us today, Carolyn. And like I say, we'll have to invite you back in the future to give us an update.
Yes,
and,
do. Yeah, it's trees all the way.
Yeah. Excellent. Right. Thanks for listening, everybody. And no doubt this is a number of discussions with Carolyn and our other colleagues about projects. And we'll provide more podcasts as we get into 2024. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the East Martian Chronicles, a joint East Marsh United and WEA production. Please do subscribe to make sure that you get future episodes. Share your thoughts about our podcast widely on your own social media channels. Check out the courses over at wea.org.uk and come and help us out in the community by getting in touch at eastmarshunited.org.